What a blessing our young people are. Thank you so much again for being here today. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to find our text today. And before we begin reading, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace again this morning, thank you so much for this Christmas day. Thank you for the joy, the privilege, and the freedom to be able to come together to worship you, to gather with the saints today to celebrate your birth. I pray, Father, that you will get glory, for you alone are worthy. Thank you for sending Christ, the Savior of the world. Thank you for the peace that only comes through Christ. And I pray that anyone hearing this message this morning who does not have peace with you, that today they would hear and believe the gospel, call on your name and be saved. And for all who are saved, Father, help us to follow you. Lord, for those who are saved and not baptized, to take that step of obedience. And for all who are saved, to walk with you as true disciples, continuing in your word, bearing much fruit for your glory. And we ask that you'll bless in all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This morning, we kind of come to the pinnacle of it all. We've been studying about the birth of our Savior and talking about Christmas for weeks now. And this morning, there's so much that we could get into, but I really want to focus on what the angels sang when they were singing in heaven, praising God, and saying in verse 14, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We sang the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. This was written, a poem that was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow back in 1863. Now, some of you have studied a little bit of history, and you might know that the United States of America was in a time of great division in 1863. Yeah. I've heard over the last several years, people say that America is more divided now than it's ever been before. And I'm like, have you heard of the Civil War? We've had some times of incredible upheaval. And Longfellow wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." Listen, in the middle of that time of Christmas, the nation was divided. The cannons were firing in the south. Tens of thousands of Americans were dying, killing each other. And he says the hate is strong and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And you might be sitting in here this morning and we're singing about peace on earth, goodwill to men. We read the scriptures, but then you look out there in the world and you say there is no peace in the world. People hate each other and people are killing each other and countries are divided and wars continue like they ever have since the fall of man. And to a degree, you might be right. There in the world, we can look at mankind and see that mankind has no peace. Amen. I did a little research on some of the most deadly wars that have happened over the years, and it's staggering to consider how many millions have died. In World War II alone, it's estimated that over 70 million people died because of that war alone. Wars that maybe you haven't heard much about, like the Second Congo War, took the lives of over 5.4 million people in the Congo. Most of you have heard of Napoleon's Wars, where 3.5 to 6 million people died. You think about World War I, where 18 million people died. And the list goes on and on and on. And I just want you to understand that from the Trojan War to the Punic Wars, down through the ages, you can think about the Hundred Years' War and the 30 Years' War and some things a little closer to home like the French and Indian War and the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korean War, Vietnam, all the conflicts that we've been involved with in the Middle East, and millions and millions and millions of men, women, and children have died in wars. It's hard to talk about or understand how we could have peace on earth when men are killing each other. Not to mention over 65 million babies have been killed in the United States alone since 1973 through abortion. It's hard to imagine today. Here in Oklahoma, a lot of people celebrated when Roe was overturned, and we talked about this a little in the back earlier. We're reading through the Christmas story, and a lot of things are said today about choice. Mary was going to have a baby. His name was going to be called Jesus. And aren't you so thankful that she had a baby named Jesus? Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful that there wasn't a Plan C pill that she could take at home and kill her baby? People in Oklahoma celebrated when Roe was overturned, but babies are still dying. They just don't have to go to the doctor to do it anymore. You think about peace between men, but what about peace within? There's not a lot of peace in people's hearts and minds today. Amen. Major depressive order affects approximately 17.3 million American adults. Amen. And almost 2 million children, that's ages 3 to 17, are diagnosed with depression in the United States of America today. People don't have peace with each other. They don't have peace within. But more importantly, we don't have peace with God. Amen. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah writes in chapter 6, verse 14, it's repeated again later in chapter 8, but he says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." False prophets came in and they told the people peace, but there wasn't peace because judgment was coming and God was going to exact retribution on the people of Israel for their denial of him, and there wasn't peace. And so they were saying peace when there wasn't peace. And I just want you to know today that when you look around the world, that sometimes it's hard to see that there's peace. And that's because we live in a world without Christ. Amen. Without Christ, there is no peace. The reason that those false prophets came and said peace, peace, when there was no peace, is because they were bringing in a false peace apart from the truth of God. But when the angels sang in the heavens in front of the shepherds that night, there really was peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Because peace incarnate had been born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and was laying in a manger. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Peace doesn't come to the world apart from Christ. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And he has the power to bring peace to all who believe. God has been promising peace to the world throughout the ages. The prophecies have come throughout the ages. We looked at so many of those last Sunday morning, that God had promised that he was going to bless all nations through the seed of Abraham. And Galatians tells us that it's seed, singular, not seeds as of many, but seed as of one, and that is Christ. Amen. And he brings peace. Amen. Peace. True and lasting peace. Amen. Can only come through Christ, our Savior. And it was purchased by his blood. Colossians tells us that he purchased peace by his blood. Amen. Colossians 1 and verse 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." He brings peace. So as the shepherds were doing what shepherds do, they were out in the field shepping that night. It's not really a word. I just was seeing if anybody was still awake. It was like any other night. They set out in the field with their staffs, watching out over their flock, watching out for wolves or other predators to come to protect them, watching for thieves to come and steal their sheep away in the night, watching for that stubborn sheep that might wander off by itself, because that's what sheep do. And so they're there watching over them. And can you imagine what it was like when the angel suddenly appeared to them? Sometimes you see things that you wonder if you really see them. Right? Anybody experienced that before? I know I've told you the story before, but it's fun to tell, so I'm going to tell it again. Melissa and I were driving back from Tulsa one night up Bragg's Mountain, and as we're driving up the mountain, Bigfoot walked across the road in front of the car. I'm telling the truth. But I didn't say anything because I thought I was seeing things. We drove for a little bit before I looked at her. I said, "Did you see that too?" Because, like, what in the world? Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but sometimes people make bad decisions. Amen. And a youth pastor from Fort Gibson thought it'd be a cool idea to get a gorilla suit, dress up, take his youth group up on Bragg's Mountain, and walk back and forth across the road. True story. I'm so thankful that he didn't get shot. Because you don't know the people from Bragg's Mountain like I do. And he's just, it's good he didn't get shot. But I just wonder, the shepherds there, it's plural. We know there's more than one of them. We don't know exactly how many, but they're watching the flock. Maybe they're having a conversation, talking. Maybe some of them are dozed off to sleep. I don't know, but they're there watching, and all of a sudden an angel appears. And I just wonder in the beginning if one of them looks at the other just to see if they see it too. The angel appears and they're sore afraid. Yeah, they're terrified. And you would be too. Terrified about what you're seeing, terrified about whether you're losing your mind or not, terrified about what did I eat for supper? Like, the glory of the Lord shone around about them, this bright light from being in the presence of God. The angel just lights up that shepherd's field, and he says, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He gives them the sign. Christ the Lord is born. Where you're going to find him is not, you're going to go three houses down in Bethlehem past the oak tree. I mean, it wasn't like that. It wasn't, you're going to go down to the inn and find where the travelers are staying. It was nothing like that. It was, you're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Amen. There's a good chance that there were other babies born that night or within the few days of that time. There were a lot of people that had come there for the census, for the taxing. But this baby was in a unique place. Amen. In a manger, in a stall, in a food trough for animals. Amen. And there he was. I've got good news for you. Christ is born. Amen. And immediately, suddenly, with that angel, a multitude of the heavenly host appeared, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Mankind is not at peace. We're not at peace with each other. We're not at peace within. And we are certainly not at peace with God. Amen. Apart from Christ. So, when the angels praise God and say, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men, the angels disappear and they say, in verse 15, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. They received the message from heaven and then they went to see. The Bible says that they came in verse 16, with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they came and they saw. I love this word seen in the scriptures. It has the idea of understanding, perceiving something. And it works for us when it translates to the English too. It's not just seeing something, it's comprehending it, it's perceiving it, it's taking it in. And so we have the idea that they went there, but they also got it, like they saw it. Angels said, we're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And they went and saw exactly what it was as the angel had told them. In other words, they got a message from heaven and everything turned out just like the messenger from heaven said. And I want you to get this, because stay with me for a second. A little later in the New Testament, you remember Peter, James, and John go up on the mountain with Jesus and they see him transfigured? Do you remember how the glory shone around them and they heard the voice of God speaking to them? And they were eyewitnesses of his majesty, Peter says. But later Peter would write and say, we have a more sure word of prophecy in the scriptures. He said, we were eyewitnesses. We saw him, but you got something better because you've got the Bible. Buddy, with me? We have the message from heaven. And we need to hear it. But we need to receive it. It's not just enough to know the story and have it rattling around in your brain. It needs to sink down into your ears and into your heart. You need to take it in and understand that unto you was born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He came to save all who believe. And we have the scripture. We have the message from heaven. You need to take it in. Just a quick poll. How many of you guys grew up going to church? Just see your hands. Some of the kids are like, I don't know, I haven't grown up yet. I mean, most of you, the vast majority of you have grown up hearing the Christmas story. Amen. I mean, even if you watch Peanuts, Charlie Brown Christmas. Come on, people. You gotta love a Charlie Brown Christmas. Okay, I'm really concerned. How many of you have never seen a Charlie Brown Christmas? All right, go home and watch it this afternoon. We'll pray for you. He came to be the Savior of the world. Amen. He is truly the reason for the season. Amen. But it's not just enough to hear Linus recite the scriptures. You have to believe. Amen. It's not just enough to know it, to have a mental assent to it. You have to trust in him. Because he came, born of the Virgin, born without sin, born of a woman under the law, to be made a curse for us so that we could be saved. Amen. Corrie Ten Boom said, "Who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that he gave his only son. The only requirement is to believe in him. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life." Amen. You had to personally receive the message. And then they came and saw it. I couldn't help but think about what Jesus said in John 1. When Jesus is identified by John the Baptist, Jesus comes through town and John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." The next day, Jesus comes to town again and again, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And then two of the disciples stop following John and start following Jesus. And he turns around and says, "What are you looking for?" And they say, "We want to know where you live. Where dwellest thou?" And he says, "Come and see." And those men's lives would begin to change that day as they started to follow Jesus. Come and see. And I think that there's an invitation by Jesus even today to come and see. Come and see. That's the invitation, really, that you think about what happened here. The angels announced the birth of Jesus and they came and they saw. There was an invitation. Go and see for yourselves. And there's got to be a place in your personal life. You personally have to come to a place where I've heard the story, I've read it a little bit, I've heard the preaching, but sooner or later, you personally are going to have to make a decision to go and see for yourself. Where you're going to look into the Word of God and you're going to start listening by faith to see whether these things are so. I would encourage you to search the Scriptures because in them you'll find Christ. And in Christ you'll find life everlasting. Come and see. So they came and saw. Verse 16, they found Mary and Joseph, the babe, lying in a manger when they had seen it. Verse 17 says, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Come and see, and then go and tell. Make known abroad. Verse 18 says, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It is a wonderful story. It's a miraculous story. It's a beyond our comprehension story that God, who created all things, became a man. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, how the one who spoke everything to existence was woven together in a young virgin's womb and was born in a lowly manger. It's hard for us to get that. There's a song that a young lady named Sky Peterson sings called "Messiah, You Have Come." It's got some of the most beautiful lyrics I've ever heard in a song. It starts this way. I'll never understand how the king who holds the cosmos was held by teenage hands. I'll never understand how the king who holds the cosmos, who's that? Well, that's King Jesus. Because the scriptures tell us that not only did he create all things, but all things by him consist. He holds everything together by the word of his power. That same God who created everything, that holds everything in the universe together, was born and held by teenage hands. All glory to his name. The manger held a baby that the grave could not contain. the manger held a baby that the grave could not contain. Because Christ was born for a singular purpose, and it was to die for the sins of the world. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. The only way that we could be saved was for him to die for our sins. The only way for us to be saved was for him to become sin for us. Though he knew no sin, he became sin for us that he might take the punishment that we deserve so that you and I could be forgiven and free. And Jesus, Messiah, came for the purpose of dying. They came and saw, then they went and they told. They went everywhere. They went abroad, telling everyone the things that they had heard from the angel about this child. What was that? Well, that there was a baby born who was Christ the Lord. But verse 19 says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Not only do we need to go and see, come and see and then go and tell, but we also need to keep it. We need to ponder it. I think a lot of us who have been raised up in church and come to church pretty regular, it's really easy for us to flip a switch. We walk in the door, we flip on our Christian switch, our go-to-church switch, our worship switch, our Bible study switch. We walk out the door, we turn the switch off, and we just kind of forget about what we've just heard. But we're supposed to meditate on the Word of God. We're supposed to keep these things in our hearts. We're supposed to ponder them and think on them. And I just would beg of you, listen, if all you ever get is what your Sunday school teacher or what I say from up here, it's definitely not enough. And we ought to read the scriptures on our own every day. And if you say, listen, preacher, I don't read too good, that's okay. There's an app for that. The Bible will read itself to you on your phone. I mean, I don't know how much easier it could get for us. Hey Siri, open Bible app. Alexa, play Luke 1. I'm waiting for somebody's phone to respond. That was so awesome. It's really that easy. I mean, you got that. I mean, some of you will walk home in a little bit and be like, hey Alexa, turn on the game. Like, how about, hey Alexa, open the Bible. You study the scriptures on your own all the time. Search them. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Jews, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If you want to know, then get in the Word. Keep it and ponder it. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Go and tell, make known abroad, cause people to wonder, keep it and ponder it in your heart, but glorify and praise God for what you've seen and heard. When you look in the scriptures and you see Jesus, when you understand who he is and what he came to do, then go and glorify and praise God everywhere you go. Go home glorifying and praising God. Go to work glorifying and praising God. Go to school glorifying and praising God. Go to the store. You can even go to Walmart glorifying and praising God. Amen. And if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. It's not hard for me to go to the Piggly Wiggly and glorify God. They usually got some Christian music playing in there, and people are relatively nice. Amen? It's a plug for the Piggly Wiggly. Did you know that we have the last Piggly Wiggly in the state of Oklahoma right here in Muldrow? Muldrow, America, USA, right here. I love that store. Thank you. God bless you. Walmart's a different animal. But I don't have to have Christian music playing on the radio to glorify and praise God. I've got it right here. Right? We ought to go with the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We ought to have joy, not just at Christmas, but all the time, because Christ came. I know some people get sick of it. Somebody asks you how you're doing. You say, a lot of times I'll say better than I deserve. And some people are like, that's so cliche. And you got that from Dave Ramsey and, whatever. I don't know where I got it from. I just know this. I want to remind myself every day that I'm doing better than I deserve. Because what I deserve is to be separated from God forever. But what he's given me is life everlasting. and so much more besides. Amen. So we ought to go glorifying and praising God for the things that you have heard and seen, the things that you have heard from the scriptures and you have seen, you have perceived, you have understood about who God is and who Christ is and what he's done. As you see it, as you hear it, as you understand it, it ought to cause you to go away glorifying and praising God. Hey, let me help you out real quick. I'm almost done. See? Now you can be happy. If you walk away from the scriptures without glorifying and praising God, you need to go back and read some more. Amen. You say, well, yeah, but when I look at the scriptures, it's a mirror. It shows me what a wretch I am. It shows me how bad I am. It shows me how bad I fail. Yes, but he loves you anyway. But you don't know what I did or what I failed to do. Yes, but he loves you anyway. But he's got grace for that anyway. He still died for you anyway. He still rose again anyway. He's ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father right now. He's preparing a place for you who believe. You say, well, I look at the scriptures, I just feel guilty all the time. Well, read some more. Because we don't get to walk away feeling guilty because he paid for that. Listen, embrace his grace. Walk in the joy of the Lord of your salvation. Am I saying, hey, just it's okay, it's fine if you mess up? No, if you mess up, fess up. Amen. Be quick to repent. Amen. If you confess your faults, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I'm not trying to give you license to sin. I'm just telling you that he's got grace for you. Amen. There's always reason to praise and glorify God. In verse 21, the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. And this was a ceremonial thing under the law, but this is so cool. When babies are born today, they give them a shot to help their blood coagulate so they can do things earlier. But did you know that it's 8 days when the blood coagulates? It's 8 days medically when it's safe to circumcise a little boy. Did you know that? Isn't that cool? You know the true science and the Bible always line up? What a coincidence. God could have said any number of days, but he chose 8 days. And when they would go and circumcise the child, that was a thing under the law ceremonially, and they would give the name officially at that time. I wish we'd have had 8 days. When Jonathan was born, we had no idea what to name that kid. And we were at the hospital for a couple of days, and the nurse kept coming back like, you got a name yet? Paperwork's going to be really hard if you leave and he doesn't have a name. I really need you to find a name. He got a good name, Jonathan Riley. Oh boy, we didn't get to wait 8 days. We only got 2 days to decide. 8 days, but they didn't have to decide. They didn't have to go through a long list of boy names and, you know, try to figure it out. What are we going to name him? Well, what about great grandpa Zeke? We didn't name him. No, they didn't do that. Why? Because he was already named. His name is Jesus. His name is Jehovah Saves. And if you've never trusted in him, listen, you don't have peace. But if you have put your faith in Christ and you are born again, you have peace with God. And you can have peace within. And you can, as much as is possible for anyone, have peace with others. And it's only possible through faith in Christ alone. This morning, I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Will you stand with me? We're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to sing a song to praise the Lord together and give anyone who needs to respond to the Word of God this morning an opportunity to respond. Hear, receive the message. Come and see for yourself Jesus, and then go and tell. If you've never trusted Christ, I plead with you to put your faith in him alone today. If you have trusted him, I pray as we wrap up 2022 and move into 23, that God will help us to know him and make him known like never before this coming year. Peace convicting your heart, you come while we sing.